Let me invite you this evening to take your Bibles and turn with me to the first letter of John, 1 John. We're going to be looking at, reflecting tonight on 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 19. Any of you perhaps did not bring Bibles with you tonight, there are pew Bibles in the pew racks in front of you. I encourage you to read along with us as we look at this passage from 1 John chapter 4 in your pew Bibles. The black pew Bibles in the pew racks in front of you, our passage is found on page 1023 in your pew Bibles. Over the last few weeks in our church on Sunday mornings, I've been preaching on the topic of loving Christ. Loving Christ. As we have seen on Sunday mornings, a Christian is always someone who loves Jesus Christ. Now, we can say more about a Christian, but we can never say less. A Christian is one who loves the Lord Jesus Christ. We are commanded in God's Word to love Christ. We are commanded to love the Lord our God with all of our heart and soul and strength and mind. Jesus asked Peter at the end of the Gospel of John, three times after Peter had denied him three times, he asked him three times, "Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?" And gave Peter the opportunity three times to affirm his love for the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we reflect tonight on what a Christian, again, is more than someone who loves Christ. There's other ways to describe it. There's more ways to describe it. But a Christian is never less than someone who loves the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we've been reflecting together on Sunday mornings on what it means to love Jesus Christ. We've seen that we love Him for who He is, both in His deity and His divine nature, as well as in His perfect humanity that He took on when He came to earth. This morning we talked about, from John chapter 1, some of the benefits, what Christ brings for to us, that also gives us the motivation to love Him. But there is perhaps no greater motivation for loving Christ than the very fact that Jesus Christ loves His own people. That's what I want us to see from this passage tonight from 1 John chapter 4, that the Lord Jesus Christ loves His own people. So let me read for you tonight 1 John 4, beginning in verse 7, and I'm going to read through verse 19 here. The word of the Lord. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in Him, and He in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. And thus far, God's holy word. Let's go to him tonight in prayer. Our God, we thank you that you love your people. And we thank you, O God, that we did not love you first, but you first loved us. And you sent the Lord Jesus Christ to be the Savior of the world, to be the propitiation that turns away your wrath from us, the wrath that we deserve for our sins, the judgment that we deserve for our sins. But you have loved your people, and so we give you thanks. We pray that you would draw near to us tonight as we reflect on this love that you have shown for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. It's a great statement from John chapter 4. It's actually repeated two times. God is love. It's a wonderful statement. And we can never understand that in isolation about other statements, from other statements about God. Where, for instance, back in 1 John chapter 1, John says there that God is light. God is pure. God is holy. God is the source of all knowledge, and knowing him is true knowledge. God is light. We see in John chapter 4, John's gospel, Jesus himself says that God is spirit. Apart from Christ becoming man, we could not know or see God, as the text tells us here tonight, but we see his glory in the Lord Jesus Christ as he becomes man. So we have these other statements as well. We can't take this one in isolation from those other statements about God that have a similar form. But this is a glorious statement. God is love. It is inherent in his nature. And when we read that God is love, we also know that God is triune. Love is always other-focused, other-looking. And so if the inherent nature of God is to be love, then God in his very essence must have somebody else to love. And before God created the world and before God created human beings, that love was shared within the Trinity. So this statement that God is love also tells us that God is triune. God's love is always outward looking, other focused. Now we're here tonight because of how God demonstrated this love. And actually, our text tonight tells us three times in verses 9, 10, and 14 that God showed his love by sending his son into the world. Verse 9, in this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only son into the world that we might live through him. Verse 10, in this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. And again in verse 14, we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Here's how God demonstrates his love to his people. He has sent his Son to be the Savior. And it's not just the Savior of one particular people in one particular place on earth. It's for God to be the Savior of all of his people who are spread out through all the world. That's the glorious message of this passage tonight. This is what Christmas is all about. But also our passage tells us tonight that not only is the essence of God or the nature of God that God is love, but also God is the source of love, the text tells us. In verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. God is the source of our love. If we love, we know that we have been born of God. The flip side is, if we don't love, the text tells us, we don't know God. They're tied together. Now, the focus of our passage tonight, as we see, is John is writing to encourage Christians to love each other. But there's this other command. We are called to love one another. That is what Jesus called the second great command. But it's always tied to the first great command. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. They go together. Both of them are crucial. In fact, as John is going to go on to tell us later at the end of this passage, we have to love God first if we're able to love one another. They go together. So we're going to reflect on this love of God for us, love of Christ for us, in order that we might love God more. That's what we're going to do this evening in the few minutes that we have. We need to know God's love for us. We need to know Christ's love for us. And the more we know Christ's love for us, that enables us to love him more, which is exactly what God calls us to do and enables us to do as we are born of him, as we are made new in him. So very briefly, I want us to reflect on four aspects of the love of Christ tonight. And the first is this: the love of Christ is the most free love. It is the most free love. We see this in verse 19. We love because he first loved us. Christ's love, God's love for us, came first. How do people love? People love us because there is something in us that draws them to us. Something in us that draws them to us. Maybe it's our beauty. Maybe it's our wealth. Maybe it's our strength. Maybe it's our goodness. Maybe it's because we love them. Or we're drawn to them for some reason. But Christ's love is not drawn to anything in us, Scripture tells us. Christ's love is not because there's anything good in us. What do we have to offer Jesus? First of all, we have sin, which he hates. As I quoted in this morning's service, the biblical passage that says God's eyes are too pure to look on human sin. God hates, Christ hates our sin. His eyes are too pure to look on them. He's not drawn to us, and nothing in us that draws him to us because our sin is there. We have our pride to present to God. In which we exalt ourselves over God. We dictate to God how we are going to live and how we want to live. We dictate to God how we think is the way to come to saving faith in Jesus Christ. We dictate to God how we're going to be saved. our pride, which exalts us over him. And certainly it's not because we loved him first, as the text tells us. Scripture tells us anywhere, elsewhere, we were his enemies. We rejected him in our sinful nature. Human beings did. Apart from a work of God in our hearts and in our lives. So why did he love us? Simply because he loved us. There's nothing in us that drew him to us. But he loved us from a loving heart. He loved us freely. If there is any spiritual beauty in us, it actually comes from him as we're made new in him. But Christ loved us even in our sin, even in our deformity. Will you not love the one who has loved you so freely? Secondly, Christ's love is the most true love. The most true love. I hate to tell you this, and this may sound somewhat cynical, but there are relatively few who truly love you. There are relatively few who truly love you. Job chapter 6 talks about his friends who come to comfort him when he has lost family members and lost everything that he had, and he has painful diseases and sores and all the rest. His life is awful. And Job says about them, "My friends are like snow. When the sun comes out and it warms up, they disappear." Their love disappears. We have many who love us in good times, but oftentimes, like Job's friends, do not love in adversity. Christ's love is true. Christ loves us at all times, in good times and in bad times. The text tells us here in verses 9 and 2 that Jesus came into the world that we might have life. And that includes, as verse 10 tells us, that he came to be the propitiation for our sins. That's a big word, and different Bibles translate this differently. But what's the word propitiation mean? Literally, it means one who turns aside the wrath of God. Propitiation turns aside God's wrath from us. That's what Jesus Christ did on the cross. And what this tells us is that Jesus loved us in our lowest and most desperate state, deserving of God's wrath under the judgment of God. That is when Jesus Christ loved us and gave himself for us. And if Christ loved us in that state, he will love us at all times. His love will always be true. And it is constant. More, we can say Christ does not love us because he receives good things from us. But Christ loves his people simply because he desires to do good things for them. This is true love. Sometimes that means speaking the truth in his word to us. It always means that he loves us as we need to be loved. Not necessarily as we want to be loved. Sometimes that means hardship and adversity coming into our lives. He loves us as we need to be loved. Not always necessarily as we want to be loved. How do we not love this one who does us good even in adversity? Do you love this one who loves you not with a selfish, but with a selfless love, always seeking your good? Third, Christ's love is the strongest love. It is a strong love, the strongest love that we can possibly imagine. It was the strong love of Christ that brought Him down from heaven for His people. It was the strong love of Christ that led Him to the cross. As Jesus Himself said in John chapter 15, no one has greater love than this, than that he lays down his life for his friends. Or as the Apostle Paul says, I live by faith in the one who loved me and who gave himself for me. This is a strong love. It is a love that is stronger than death, if you will. When we were His enemies, when we were strangers, again, when there was nothing good in us, that He would die for us, Christ, with His strong love, laid down His life. And after our death, He promises that He will take us to be with Himself. That is a strong love. Has Christ descended to take on your nature? To undergo a painful death? To bear the wrath of God? And will you not love Him? Will you not love Him more than you do? And fourth and finally, Christ's love is the most sure love. It's the most sure love. Some friends will love you for a while, and then they won't love you anymore. Even if friends love you all your life, all their life, they eventually are going to die. But Christ's love continues into all eternity. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Praise be to God. Nothing can separate us from the love of God and the love of Jesus Christ. Not even death. When our love for Him fails, His love is sure. As He comes to Peter, the one who had denied Him, and says, "Do you love me, Peter? Do you love me, Peter? Do you love me?" His love is sure, even when ours is not. When we sin against Him, unlike those who love us in this world, sometimes we're not able to be reconciled to them. Jesus says, "You can always come. Always come. Confess your sins. Be reconciled to me." It's a sure love. And it's a love that is, as the text tells us, always perfecting our love for Him. The text tells us this in verse 12, that God abides in us and His love is perfected in us. Again, verse 17, by this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. He perfects our love. That's the beauty and glory of his love for us. Thomas Vincent, in his wonderful work, The True Christian's Love for the Unseen Christ, says, he may withdraw manifestations of his love, but he never withdraws his love from his people. And sometimes we wonder what God is doing in our lives. It might seem to us as if he doesn't love us anymore. But God's love is firm. God's love for his people is sure. No wonder the Apostle Paul can pray in Ephesians 3. Pray for Christians that we might know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. We don't know this kind of love in human experience. We don't know this kind of love in our everyday life. It surpasses knowledge. It is too big for us to comprehend even in this world, but we want to know it more and more. But we know this. This Christmas Eve, this Christmas season, that Christ's love for us is free. It's true. It's strong and it's sure. May we grow in our love for him. Let's pray. Our God, how great is your power and might. How holy and just you are, O God. And yet how we praise you that you are loving. That you love your people with an everlasting love. That you, O God, in your goodness have drawn us to yourself. Those in whom there was nothing good to cause you to love us. And yet you did. And now we thank you, the Lord Jesus, that you in your strong love became a man, and you died on a cross to save sinners from their sins. Fill us with joy. Fill us with the love of you, we pray, through Christ our Lord. Amen.